Blog Talk Radio.
I think that would be everyone's prayer. Lord, lead me, guide me, lead us, guide us. That would be our prayer. Why? Because as the songwriter wrote, if God leads us, if he guides us, we won't go astray. That's the ultimate benefit. Really, the ultimate benefit is that we're fellowshipping with God. He's our companion. We walk with the Lord. We fellowship with the Lord. That's the number one benefit. But the second benefit would be we wouldn't go astray. And in a world where many are going astray, that should be our song and that should be our prayer. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast with... We're finalizing the series, Every Manufactured Weapon, and Every Evil Tongue Will Fail Against Thee. That's a promise. That's not a promise I make. That's not the promise that the deacons and the trustees make. Because if we made it, if I made that promise to you, combined with the deacons making the promise to you and the trustees of the church making the promise to you, there's no way that we can deliver that promise. Why? Because I am no match for men with weapons. I couldn't protect you from an army of men with weapons. I couldn't protect you from Satan's sharp tongue. I couldn't do it. But God can. The text reads, God speaking to us, his children. No weapon, says the Lord, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants, plural, of the Lord. It belongs to all of us. All of God's people receive this heritage. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we worship you tonight. We honor you tonight. We glorify your name. We thank you for this precious promise. When there's so many preachers out there preaching contrary to this text, there's so many preachers using fear-mongering, scaring their sheep, telling them, the devil this, the devil that. You have this curse on you, some witch has proclaimed, has made a pronouncement over you, just using foolishness, foolish talk, to scare their people out of their wits. We, on the other hand, stand on this promise. If any preacher, if any so-called evangelist, if any so-called revivalist was to come to say and say, the devil has his hands around you, we would turn around and say, oh no. For the Lord promises his people, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue, including Satan's, if he chooses to rise up against us in judgment, he shall be condemned. This is our heritage, the heritage of God's people, the servants of the Lord. And our righteousness is not our own. Our righteousness is of him who made this promise. God bless us. Encourage us. Strengthen us, O God. We know that there's so many out there who claim to be your servants, to claim to have your word in their mouths, and yet preach contrary to this text. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us and guiding us to all truth. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. We're looking at that portion of the text that says, it's the last portion of the text that says, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And their righteousness. That's how the King James puts it. The Amplified Bible reads, this is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, saith the Lord. So look at the little picture. And again, there is Jesus. He's on the cross. He took our sin. He took my sin, he took your sin, he took our sin. That's what was transferred to him. He became sin for us. In return, we receive his righteousness. Remember, Christ was righteous in all things. Christ never sinned. So his righteousness is transferred to us. And now, because of that, we are the righteousness of God. He took our sin, his right standing. Remember, on two occasions, when Jesus was baptized, a voice was heard from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then again, in the Mount of Transfiguration, when he was seen to be with Elijah and Moses, a voice came out of heaven. Again, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Obey his commandments. Follow his teachings. Be his disciples. So Jesus exemplified the righteousness of God. We have failed at every turn to keep the word of God. On so many occasions, we have failed. One sin alone, one sin, condemns us to eternal damnation. Just one sin. And look at all the sins we've committed the day we were born. So he took all of your sins, he took all of my sins, and we take all of his righteousness. He transfers that to us. What a blessing. See, that's the good news. That's the good news, in essence. That's the gospel. That we were in trouble with God. For the wages of sin is death. You and I deserved death, eternal separation from God. But, Paul says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So notice, in the green portion, we are transferred or we are given justification. To be justified is to be declared righteous. It is to be pronounced righteous. It is to be treated as one who is righteous. And again, this righteousness comes by Jesus Christ. So God declares us righteous, justified when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this righteousness that the Bible speaks of here in Isaiah, this righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. In other words, God designed it. Now, no one can be justified, no one can be declared righteous by the keeping of the law of Moses. Why? Because we all fail. And just one failure, just one sin, just one violation dooms us to eternal separation from God. Just one. So notice, Jesus again came to take our sins away. Now, let's read a few scriptures. Let's go to the fifth evangelist, who happens to be the prophet Isaiah. And in case you don't believe that your good deeds and, well, you know, Pastor, I'm good, and before I came to Christ, I was good, and I never hurt anybody, and I kept to myself, and I did as much as I could for the community, and I donated, and I volunteered, and I served. Well, that's called your righteousness. That is your attempt in your mind to say to God, I deserve to go to heaven because I was somewhat good. But look what the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6. But we, the prophet includes himself, but we are all as an unclean thing. And our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. In other words, he says, look at your life. If you don't think that you are unrighteous, let's say you're bragging. Let's say you say, well, you know, I've done good. I've lived good. I've behaved myself. I've done the golden rule. I've been a good Samaritan. I've volunteered, like I said before, and I've helped, and I've donated, and I didn't hurt anybody, and I didn't covet anyone's wife, or I didn't covet their car. I didn't steal. Well, listen. Again, all our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. They stand as an abomination to God. They're a stench before the Lord. That's what they are. They are as what? A filthy rag. Now, if you don't believe it, well, he goes on to say, look what he says, and we all do fade as a leaf. Now, you were once like me, young, green, vibrant. Today, I am like an autumn leaf that has lived through the green summer. Now what's happening to me? I'm fading. I'm either yellow or red or orange, and soon the wind will come and separate me from the tree, from the branch that I hang on, and I will go from being attached to the tree to disconnected from the tree. I will fall to the ground, and I will become brown and dry and crispy. We all, listen, he says, we all like the leaf fade. That's the aging process. What does the aging process do to? The sin nature, the sinful life. And our iniquities, like the wind, have us away. Someday I'm not going to be around. Someday, good old Pastor Torres won't be seen anymore walking upon the face of the earth. I'll be 6 feet under somewhere. Now, what is aging? What does aging testify to? And what does being 6 feet under testify to? That I was a sinner. The wages of sin is death. So brag we may, and we may tell the world, we may tell the world I've done this and I've done that, and the world may applaud us and give us awards and plaques and honor us, you know, and eulogize us and say how wonderful we were. But God will say, your righteousness, all those deeds for which you have received accolades and plaques and you know, honor and mention, all of that before me, saith the Lord, is as what? Filthy rags. So now, let's look at another scripture, another poignant scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, it speaks of the sad case of Israel, God's chosen people, who rejected Christ when he came, who rejected the righteousness of God. Now remember, when you look at the picture in the green portion of your outline on page 2, the green portion, which was Thursday, March 16th, that green portion emphasized justification. God has declared us, it's again, God has legally declared you righteous. He's declared me righteous. That's what justification is. Therefore, Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God is not our enemy anymore. He now becomes our Father. We have peace with God through person and salvific work of Jesus Christ. So not only are we justified, not only are we declared not guilty, we are acquitted, if you will, but then we are set free and we walk as those who have the righteousness of God. Now, here in Romans 10, Paul shows how the Jewish people have missed it. And we're only going to read 4 verses, Romans 10, 1 through 4.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved.
You mean Israel's not saved? I thought they were God's covenant people. I thought they were the chosen ones. Well, when they rejected Christ, they rejected God's justification. They rejected God's righteousness. Remember, there's a righteousness that comes from God. So Paul's heartbroken. Paul is praying that among the nation of Israel, among the Israelites of his day, they might come into a revival, that they might be saved. Let's read verse number 2.
For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
You see, Paul looks at the Jewish people of his day, and he says, I see them running around. I see them praying. I see them running to the synagogue. I see them holding services. I see them, they have a great zeal for God, but they're missing him. Why? Because their zeal does not line up with his word. It's an unscriptural zeal. They have set up a bunch of traditions and a bunch of practices that have nothing to do with God's word. So they're very active, and they're very religious, but they're not connected to God. Why? Because it's not according to biblical knowledge. It's not according to the scriptures. How many churches, how many people of God are going to places of worship, and they're going almost every day, but God is not in it? It doesn't line up with the word of God. It's not according to knowledge. They show up for service. They're very given to what they're doing. They're very dedicated. But it doesn't line up with the word of God. So look at verse 3. What does Paul attribute this to?
For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God.
See, they are ignorant of God's righteousness, of the way God saves. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. They rejected Christ. They rejected the Lamb of God. They rejected their Messiah. They said, crucify him. Do away with him. We want nothing to do with him. We have no king but Caesar. And yet, after having said that, after having turned their backs on Jesus, they went back to the synagogue. They pulled out the scroll of Isaiah. They read it. They prayed. They were engaged, they were zealous, they kept going back to the synagogue, but none of it was according to what? Knowledge. Because Christ is the sum of all knowledge. So they went about to establish their own righteousness and would not submit themselves to the righteousness of God, which is found in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's read verse 4.
Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes.
See, they're trying to establish a righteousness based on trying to keep the law of Moses. But no one can. Christ kept the law of Moses totally. And since he kept it, we're to put our faith in him as the Lamb of God. And once we do, we transfer our sin, we transfer our guilt to him, and he in return transfers his justification and his righteousness to us. But the Jews didn't get it. They still don't get it. And many church folk today still don't get it. They're very religious. They're very zealous. They're very proud of all that they do, in quotes, for the Lord. But they have not trusted in Jesus Christ. They're trying to earn their salvation. You can't earn it. It's a gift from God. You can't keep any laws. You're going to break them. Not too long ago, about a year ago, a man came up to me and said, you know, you said in a sermon that we Christians sin. And I said, yes, the Bible says, little children, I write that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He says, well, I don't sin anymore. I said, well, you just sin now. And he says, what do you mean I just sinned? I said, yes, you just finished sinning. Because you said that God is a liar. The Bible says all have sinned. And Paul talks about in Romans 7 how we sin all the time. And John says, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, which is all of us, we have an advocate with the Father. So you just sinned. Because you said that you don't sin, and God says you sin, so you just contradicted God, and that's a sin. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are some people who think that they have arrived and that they no longer sin. They are trying to establish their own righteousness, and that won't fly with God. Our righteousness and our justification and our gift of salvation comes directly from the Lord. We just accept it by faith. So now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. These poor Jews. Paul says to them here in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes in him. You can't keep the law. He kept it. He kept it because you and I can't. And if we put our trust in him as Savior, again, we transfer to him our iniquity, our guilt, our sin, and he transfers to us his justification, his righteousness. So now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, and we're going to read down to verse number 21. So, begin us the reading. 2 Corinthians 5, 17.
Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
And the key verse is verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, referring to Jesus, to be sin for us. What did God do? He turned his son into a lamb, and we transferred our sins to him. For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Again, put your faith, put your trust in Jesus Christ. So now when you read Isaiah 54:17, let's go back to Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. That is man attacking you, ungodly men, sinful men. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. That's talking about the accuser of the brethren. So you have enemies on two levels, on earth and in heaven. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. What's the heritage? That God saves us from those who would condemn us. This is the gift that he gives us. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Their righteousness comes to them because God has gifted them Jesus Christ. That's the gift. So no matter what men try to do to you here on earth, and no matter what Satan tries to do to you in heaven, no weapon formed against you, against me, shall prosper. So let them have at it. Let them work overtime, planning your demise, my demise. We are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, because of our Savior, because of his sacrifice, because of his death on the cross, you and I have been declared not guilty. Our sins have been canceled. They've been washed away. They've been taken and dropped into the depths of the sea, never to be brought up again. This is what God has done for us. So now, knowing that, let us serve the Lord with zeal and with knowledge. God bless you.
Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone?